Chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13. No, it's not the groaning or screaming that you might think of. The page is turning. Proverbs chapter 13 this morning. Now, as you turn there and you find that, yesterday and Friday night, the youth group and I went up to a youth rally, or out to a youth rally, on the other side of Columbus, and it was a great, the service I was at was great. The girls were able to stay and get a little extra time there. Friday, I know the preacher preached from Philippians, and he preached on what to do now, and he talked about the right response now, and talked about Paul's problems. It was really good. Can I call on a teenager or two to tell me what were the, there was two other messages, two other themes. Do you guys remember? Just tell me what they were. Teenager anywhere? I guess there's a few here. I guess maybe that's all of them here. What was the first message on Saturday? On being bold. That was a very bold thing for you to do, to speak up there. Now, what was the second one? So Friday or Saturday evening, what was the second one there? And who remembers that one? On being a light. All right, very good. And thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate you girls taking notes and remembering and being brave enough to share that with us. So we've got another youth rally coming up in a couple weeks, and the parents of teenagers, you guys should know about that, at least hopefully through your teenager, and if not, we'll let you know more about it in the next week. But thankful that there's other places that they can go to get a little encouragement, and that was a blessing to all of us. We're in Proverbs chapter 13, and I've got to tell you that I almost knew that I would be in the Old Testament months ago when Pastor Lethley was planning on this trip. And for the one reason, Brother Joel, is when we preach in the afternoons on Sunday, we are pretty much confined to the New Testament. Nothing wrong with that, but all of our kids have a New Testament, so it does us no good to go to Proverbs because they don't have Proverbs. But there's just so much in the Old Testament that I hope, and your pastor hopes, that you get through personal Bible reading. I mean, you could come to every church service, every revival meeting. You could listen to a podcast or a sermon every day, and you wouldn't touch all of what's in the Bible just to touch it, just to mention it. You realize that this book is bigger than your life is. And if you're here and you're like me, you're middle-aged, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. You know, the only remedy to know what God has for you is to read your Bible. Is to read your Bible on your own every day faithfully. And you'll see stuff and you'll say, Pastor Lethley has never preached on that. Brother Lewis has never preached on that. And you'll be right. I don't know when we're going to get around to it, okay? We're trying our best, but today we're going to go back into Proverbs, and I'm just going to give you one verse, and we'll preach on it today. But in the book of Proverbs, this is Proverbs 13, will be the proverb for tomorrow. By the way, if you're using a Bible that's in front of you, it's on page 574. It's in the Bible just in front of you there. If you didn't bring one, 574 will put you at Proverbs chapter 13. And I'd like to direct your attention to verse 15. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. The Bible says this, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. I intend this morning to set about to prove that to you this morning. Not from experience, but from the Word of God. Not from a tragic thing that happened in my life, but just the plain facts that you and I see every day. This world wants us to believe something about the way they live that just isn't true. The Bible says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors, my, how hard it is." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and only you know the deep needs of the hearts of everyone that's here. I know the surface need is more of the Word of God, more of you. And so, Lord, through this one verse in Proverbs, I hope to preach you and exalt you. Lord, I pray that today you'd help me to make sin ugly, help me to expose it for what it is. And Lord, I pray that no young person, no middle-aged person, no old person would be left this morning wondering if it's just, if it's that way or not, I pray that we'd be able to convince beyond the shadow of a doubt the truth that you've put before us this morning. And Father, please bless the young ones downstairs. May they be drawn closer to faith in Jesus Christ, and may we as well. Bless our time together. Once more, we pray for the name and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, Solomon knew what he was talking about in this verse. And again, Solomon, who wrote most of the Proverbs, knew these things not by experience, much the same way that I'm going to present it to you this morning. He learned a lot by experience, don't get me wrong, but he never had what we would consider a hard life. Now, he did have a very, very wicked, very elaborately sinful life at some times. But that's not the way most people get to live. If you're going to be a sinner, you're not going to be able to drink wine out of a glass with your pinky out. You're going to drink it at the end of a bottle and vomiting afterwards, right? That's how it's going to be. You're not going to get to wine and dine. You're going to get to do whining of the other kind, and crying is all you're going to get to do. And that's what I hope to, just in a nutshell, if you don't get anything else, I hope I've just woke you up with that. The fact is that sin, no matter what form it takes, though, whether it's Solomon or whether it's a sorry good-for-nothing in a gutter somewhere, maybe rolling out of bed just now because he's had such a bad weekend, whatever the case is, whether he's in the White House or whether he's in the jailhouse, the fact is the way of transgressors, it's hard. It's hard. The Bible says so. I want to prove it to you this morning. This first part is for Christians. See, it says, good understanding giveth favor. My problem is not a problem at all. I got saved when I was young, much like Brother Brown did. And I didn't have, that's the best way to live. I wouldn't want that, I wouldn't wish anything different on anybody else. Get saved young and follow Christ as soon as you can, as long as you can. And when you mess up, get back up, confess your sin, and start following Him again. Don't give up on God just because you got saved at a young age and you don't have a great colorful testimony. Some of you folks in here with a colorful testimony wish you didn't have it. Brother Casey Ray, I know that he did a great job of giving his testimony, but you know what? Those guys that get saved out of that stuff, they don't want to talk about that stuff. They're glad they got saved out of it. So you young people in here, and you second-generation Christians in here, you've just not been convinced what God said is true because you've had it just too... Everything's been kind of lukewarm your whole life. Everything's just been okay. And I want to tell you that the way of transgressors is hard, and the way of being a Christian is easy. And the first way I want to do that is to prove that to you with some Bible words, okay? We've got a word here called transgressor. Transgressor. There's some words in the Bible that refer to sin, and you might see them thrown around. You say, well, what do those words even mean? There's transgressor. Here's another one, trespass. Who's heard the word trespass before? It's coming up on deer season. Some of you guys see it all the time when you walk by it, right? No trespass? Anyways. Trespass. There's a transgression, there's a trespass, and then there's another word, betrayal. Betrayal or treason, right? If you want to have three T words in the Bible, you can look these in a concordance and find all three of them. They all refer to sin and they refer to sinners, but can I tell you there's a difference, and this is very important for us to get. Transgression is this. It's a form of course, the first part is trans, meaning to cross over, and gress, meaning a grade, a slope. You go down the road, you're driving a truck, and you see that sign that says, 3% grade, right? That grade, what does that mean? It's a gradual but a continual slide downward, and so you got to be aware of that. Somebody that transgresses, according to the dictionary, it says this, it means to overpass any rule prescribed as the limit of duty. It is when somebody crosses over a principle, crosses over in their mind to say, I don't agree with that. That's what a transgression is. I don't think that's right. In other words, Adam, his sin was called a transgression. Even before he ever ate anything, in his mind he said, I agree with the devil. I believe him. And so it happened in his head before it happened in his hand. Does that make sense? Now the second word is this, trespass. Now trespass, of course, has the same kind of root. It means to cross. And of course, pass is just like you would think, to cross over. To cross over. You see that, of course, on the signs in the woods. That means don't cross this line. To trespass means to encroach on somebody else's property. Okay? And these might be covered by such commandments as thou shalt not covet, or thou shalt not steal, right? That's when it's somebody else's, but you appropriate it with your hand for your own use. And it's not just crossing in your mind. Now you've crossed in person. You've crossed it with your feet, with your hands. You've gone and done the act. Okay, now this is just coming from the dictionary here, to pass over the boundary line. The last word, if I could use the word treason or betrayal, you know that word, that's a sharp, much sharper word. To betray somebody is to violate a trust. It is to not just take something that belongs to somebody else, it's to turn on their very person. And a betrayal, boy, that's got to be the highest form of crime. In fact, it is the highest crime of a civil nature of which a man can be guilty, according to the law. But it means to be in violation of a trust. When you look in the Bible and you see these words, I've got a list if you care to see it, if you want to study it for yourself. But when it comes to betraying and betrayal in the New Testament, the times that word shows up, one of those words, 40 references to betrayal, all but one of them refers to Judas Iscariot. All but one of them. So when you even say that word, in the New Testament, God's pretty much honed it down. You know what kind of a person it is that would turn their back on Jesus Christ. And you know what kind of a person, the Bible says that he was a devil, not a man. He was filled with the devil. He went to his own place. The Lord said he's not a human on his way for hell. He's just the devil on furlough for a little bit. That's how bad Judas was. You see, when it comes to treason, when it comes to that kind of betrayal, a man can be guilty of that, but a man that's guilty of that, boy, that's the highest crime you can do, to turn your back on the person of Jesus Christ. So you see, we have three different words here, three different ideas. Can I just help you with something this morning? The Bible doesn't say that the way of a traitor is hard. We know it's hard. Judas went to hell, hung himself, suicide, went to hell. That's hard. But the Bible doesn't say the way of a traitor is hard. The Bible doesn't say the way of a trespasser is hard. We know it's hard. Sometimes that's what we get the most angry about, when somebody does something or gets on something that we own, or you know, comes into our school district or comes into our place of work, or you know, takes God's name in vain in our presence. That's a trespass, and we've got to learn how to forgive some of those. But that's what gets us riled up, that trespass. The Bible never said the way of a trespasser is hard. Are you paying attention to me, church? The way of a transgressor is hard. What is that? That is a man who has just crossed in his mind the boundary line that God's put up there, long before he's ever done anything to act on it. Can I just say, I'm not preaching in here to traitors. I'm not preaching to trespassers this morning. I may be preaching to a transgressor. Because I can look at you and you can smile at me and you can nod your head at me. And the fact is, you could be already in your mind crossed the line and said, I just don't agree with God on this, and therefore I'm never changing my life. You know what God said about that way of thinking, that life that you're forming for yourself? Well, that's hard. That's hard. And I don't want you to go down that way. I don't want you to go down that way. You don't have to be an outwardly a bad sinner for this to be true. It just is true because God said it's true. You see, Christian, good understanding giveth favor. This is for us to educate us so that we understand. When God says, you know, we sing songs, rescue the perishing, and then you go out into Walmart and you think, they don't want rescuing. You go out to the street, you know, take a pile of tracks, you think, I'm going to pass out tracks. I don't know if you've ever done this before. I know me and Miss Cam. But you think, I'm going to pass out tracks. And so you get set, and then about the first 10 get rejected. You think, well, what am I even doing here? Well, you just got to press through, because what God said was that they are without hope and without God, and you have to believe that. You don't have to believe it to make it true. It is true. It is true. People without Christ are absolutely without any hope, whether or not they've ever acted on the way they believe or not. And Christian, it's possible for you to be a transgressor too, and I want to scare you away from that. Their life is so hard because of a fixed perspective, number one. In other words, the transgressor thinks his way is right and God's is wrong. That's basically what makes you a transgressor. You have an opinion, and your opinion has just outweighed God's. You know why it's hard? You're not able to change your mind. Paul said in Titus that God, may you deliver us from unreasonable men, men that won't change their minds. They won't be convinced that they're wrong. Can somebody tell you that you're wrong? I'm going to take that as a no, probably. Listen, I know how it is. I worked with men for years, worked with men on trash trucks. And, you know, if you just kept telling those guys, you know, keep on going, attaboy, but the minute you tell them, hey, you keep doing that, you're going to break this machine, they would say, well, what do you think I am, an idiot? If you got to say it, if you got to ask, you know, that's kind of my attitude. But the minute you tell them, hey, quit that, you're doing something wrong, they swell up like, what? Listen, you weren't born intelligent, somebody had to teach you, all right? I wasn't born intelligent. Somebody had to teach us, but when we get older, we get hardened and we just get right in our own head. Can I tell you, that's a hard way to live. If you're going to, you know, you say, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough, because it's just a hard way to live. It's just a hard way to live. You know what David said? David had his perspective altered. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The lost world does not have that perspective. They say, my desires are my shepherd, and I never have enough. That's their psalm. Now, it's hard also, not because of their fixed perspective, but because of a false promotion this is our transition into the message here. The world wants you to think that getting married and staying married to one woman your entire life, that living conscientiously, loving your neighbor, working hard, keeping a job, that walking with God, this world wants you to believe that walking with God, reading your Bible every day and praying, the world wants you to believe that things like being generous when you don't have to, when you don't have a gun put to your head, not like paying taxes, but being generous and attending church, the world wants you to believe that that is a hard life. The world has been pushing and will push and will continue to push that if you're bound by those things, what a sorry life you have. You're a slave to your religion. I'm here to tell you that they lie. There's nothing hard about that at all. It's not easy, but can I tell you it's a far cry from hard? This world tells me that staying married and staying faithful to my wife, that's hard. Sure, the world makes it hard, but you know what the truth is? That's the most blessed life you could ever have. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. God said that's happiness right there. God said, what you're doing this morning, they say, why would you come to church for an hour? What do you do? Sit for an hour and listen to somebody talk? And there's two dummies there announcing a football game that had just, they've been there since I was a teenager, and you watch that football game and hear them talk about, yeah, well, he's really coming a long way. You know, those guys don't even know who they're talking about. They're making that stuff up. Anyways, I better get off of that. But the thing is those guys just get on there and talk, and you ain't going to sit there for no hour and a half. You know that's a lie. If it's not 3 hours, it isn't a football game. And you'll watch the commercials too. You know what that is? That's hard. 3 hours is a hard, that's a lot of time to reclaim. Some young people get on the, and maybe it's not young people, I'm looking at young people right now that I don't think have a problem with this. Maybe it's middle-aged people. Maybe it's just older people. We just get on our phone and, you know, we don't ever post on Facebook, but we've got to read what everybody else does. Come on now, you know you're a troll. Stop that. Don't be creepy. You realize, you ever kept track of the time that goes on there? There's probably the best thing they ever did. They put a little timer on there and they showed, this is how much time you spent on this week. You realize it's hours and minutes and seconds, and every second, two people die and go into eternity. Did you know them? Did you care for them? Did you try to reach them? What more about God do you know? And hours of your life, and it's gone. You owe it to a little box that you carry in your pocket. You know what? That's hard. That's hard. That's a hard reality. You know, some people get depressed when people mention that. Oh, stop. This is what I do to unwind. Yeah, well, it's wasting your life, and that is hard, because one of these days, you're going to be told, hey, you've got 6 weeks to live. Can I ask you a question? When you've got 6 weeks to live, are you going to spend it playing bubble pop on your phone? You know what you're going to do then? I got a letter to write. I got somebody to visit. I got a phone call to make. You're going to get serious about life. Well, listen, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. Put it away. You're living a hard life. And I want you to cut it out. And so does God. It's a false idea that somehow being a Christian is hard. Can I tell you, this is the best life you could ever live. And this world is jealous of it, and that's why it does everything it can to talk bad about it. I want to tell you three things this morning, maybe five. I don't know if I've got three or five. It just depends on what we got time for. Can I just tell you that the transgressor, you think, my question is you think that's hard? Try this. You think being a Christian is hard? Try this. First of all, try the transgressor's education. The transgressor's education. What is that? Well, the only thing that that a sinner without Christ, the only thing that a lost man can know is that he can't know anything. That's the only thing you're guaranteed of, is that the stuff you are sure of can be disproven. You realize we're living in a world now where, I mean, we believe in science. We trust in a lot in science. And if it's true science, it's biblical. But you realize that we're living in a time where things that we have thought were true have been disproven just in the course of your lifetime. This will never happen, and it does. Technology, people said, there's no way it's going to get to that. And it has. Technology in science discovery, you know, people try to put a cap on nature. You know, we've kind of got this figured out. They get everything classified. Just in this in the last 100, 200 years, they discovered a duck-billed platypus. And they said, that doesn't fit into any other animal we've ever discovered before. Charles Darwin couldn't handle it. Why? Because he said, I don't know what he is. You know what he is? He's God's joke on every evolutionist that's ever been born. He said, you know what? They think if it's got hair, it should give live birth. They think this and that. You know what? I'm going to make a duck that's poisonous. Did you know they're poisonous? How crazy. I had nightmares about ducks for weeks when I realized that. You know, God, he said, I'm going to give it the poison of a snake, a bill like a duck, and give it hair like a beaver, and then it's going to lay eggs on top of that. What? What is going on? You know what that is? If you trust God, you believe God, nothing, you're going to discover all sorts of wonderful things in God's creation, but you know they're God's creation. They're not the product of a little bit of goo dropped in a mud puddle and a lightning strike. I mean, that's not where you came from. That may be where you're going, but that's not where you came from. Now listen, you know, the Bible says not only can he not know, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. The great movement today is not atheism, but an agnosticism. I can't know, you can't know. Don't try to tell me that you can know something for sure. I can't, it's impossible to know. And the Bible says, I'm sorry. The fool has said in his heart. See, no matter what his head learns, his heart's wicked. His heart's wicked and won't let him believe what the truth is. Not only that, but he's blinded. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. You think of how hard that is. You can't know anything, and anything you try to learn, the devil's right there putting a shadow over you and saying, no, don't look at that. You don't need that. The Bible says that he does that to the minds of them that believe not. Can I tell you, I know that I have in my hands the Word of God without a shadow of a doubt. It's not in some other book. It's not. If you question on me later, I won't have to point you to my library. I won't have to mention whether it was Beza's or Erasmus's or the Textus Receptus. I won't have to do any of that stuff. I've got the Word of God right here. Every word of God is pure. I've got it right here. I can know that. And because I got the Word of God, I've got all of history and all of eternity set up for me on a paper right in front of me. I've got the book. He wrote a manual, and I've got it right in front of me. I know. And there's nothing between me and the truth but about 18 inches. Well, 12 if I don't have my glasses on, right? That's all that's between me and the truth. But a transgressor, he's got a whole hurdle of things between him and the truth. You think being a Christian's hard? Try that. Try the transgressor's entertainments if you think being a Christian's hard. You know why everything that this world enjoys, I got to tell you that they put on a good show about enjoying, but the Bible says that the end of that mirth is heaviness. We're going to look at that verse in a second. It's real close to where we're at here. But the Bible says the fool laughs. It's like the crackling of thorns under a pot. Just an evil, wicked, hollow laughter. And you know what the Bible says? The end of that mirth is heaviness. They're going to laugh and they're going to laugh. And you've heard it before. You've heard somebody in hysteria over a lost loved one, and the laughter goes into a cackle that goes into a heave that goes into a sob. I've heard it in my lifetime. I want to tell you, that's a terrible, terrible noise. You know what the transgressor has to face, a man without God? Laughing in the face of God until it turns into just weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's where it ends. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. Pleasure in sin for a season. Oh, sure. Pleasure at the start, but only for a season. Jonathan Edwards preached his great and infamous message that I think we would do well to revisit. I always thought, you know, this is just me, you know, I didn't pay attention much in school, but I used to think that he preached sinners in the hands of an angry God off of the verse in Hebrews. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I always thought that that's what he put together. You know, it does you some good to pay attention in school, because you know what the verse was that he read to preach sinners in the hands of an angry God? One phrase from Deuteronomy that says this: their foot shall slide in due time. You'll slip. You'll fall. Why? Because as a transgressor, you're already on the slope. And it's just a matter of time before you lose your footing and head over heels you'll fall. And you think that's fun? Your foot will slide in due time. You can't enjoy anything because you know it's on a slide. Every sinner, every person without Christ knows that it's just a matter of time. Every drink they take, they wonder, I wonder if this is the one that does my kidneys in. Every late night they spend up, they wonder, I wonder if I'm going to get caught. Every time they've broken the law or stepped out on their marriage, they wonder, is this going to be the one that just does me in here? Oh yeah, every time. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6. I'll read this one for you. You can write it or you can turn to it. Proverbs 29, verse 6. The Bible says this, 29, verse 6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Nothing hard about my entertainments. Nothing hard about what gives me joy. Why? God's changed my desires. He's changed what I thought of as fun. I don't need an adrenaline rush for it to be fun. I don't need to be running from the cops for it to be fun. I don't need to, you know, to drive fast for it to be fun. What can I do? You know what can give you joy? Praying for somebody else and having God come in the room and just realize, I can't help them. I can't meet them. I can't pay their bills for them. I can't talk to their family member for them, but just the peace that knows I gave it to God. And when God invades that room and says, I've already taken care of it. You know what kind of joy that is? If you never, you don't understand. That's not just not hard. That's the opposite. What a privilege to come to God in prayer. Try my entertainments. There's a snare for the lost man. There is no joy. Money. There's a snare in money, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. There's a snare in science, falsely so called, 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. There's a snare in man's own opinion. He can't even have an independent thought. And inside of that, there's a snare. And what's it doing? It's just making him twofold more the child of hell than he was. Enjoying life, are you? Enjoying it? Having fun? Yeah, just doing it my way. You know, me and Frank Sinatra, we're just doing it my way. Having a great old time. You know, it's a sad thing. I saw it. It just happened all over the country. But when we moved from Oklahoma, we came back a couple times for visits. And along the main stretch there, where there used to be a pawn shop and a general store and a little donut shop, there's all these things up the main drag. You know, we went back for a visit, and every one of those on the main drag, I think there was something like six dispensaries up through there. Every one of those little businesses had just turned into a marijuana dispensary. Every one of them. I thought, you know, if that was really the end all, why is there such an onslaught of this thing? What are they trying to force on us that, you know, really there's no happiness? Can I just tell you too, I'll just be honest with you. You know, somebody smoking marijuana, they're not, it doesn't make you an evil person. It doesn't make you do bad things. I don't believe that. But you know what it does? It keeps you from doing anything that's good, too. The problem is, transgressor, you've said that's okay. And this whole world has said that's okay. Our whole nation has said, you know, it's okay as long as they don't hurt anybody else, and so they legalize it all over. You know what the greatest sin a man can ever commit? Is not anything that he does, it's something he doesn't do that'll damn him to hell. He that believeth not the Son of God hath not life. All the other good things taken, who cares? God said, you don't do this one thing, it's a sin of omission. You understand that? And what this whole nation did was just say, it's okay to forget. And it's okay to not be so concerned about life. It's okay to just get on a high and just enjoy your weekend and just be safe and just slide right on into hell. What is that? That's the transgressor's entertainments. That's his happiness. It's all he's got. From general store to dispensary and all the way down from there. That's what will happen. It was probably better, I'll say this, is better when all sin was just illegal. It didn't matter if it was, you know, people say, well, that you know, drugs can get tainted. Well, you think? I mean, you think? You just shove random stuff in your body, somebody's cooking something over a candle, and you think, oh, that's okay. You know, how did it get tainted? I don't know. How about filth? Anyways, I'll get off of that. You better to leave it all, illegal. Why? Because at least there's one last speed bump in your mind before you go do something that forever God has said, don't bring your body into subjection to that stuff. That's all the happiness that a lost man has. You think being a Christian's hard? Try that on for size. Try the transgressor's hope. Try his expectations. You think being a Christian's hard? I'm going to read for you Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. The Bible says this, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. What's a lost man got to live for? You realize that, every man's entitled to his own opinion, but I'll save you a lot of time. It takes time for a sinner to sometimes come to this understanding, but the Bible helps you get to the quick of it real fast. Here's the thing. If the Bible's not true and you don't have to get saved and none of it's true and it doesn't apply to you, what do you have to live for? Can I just save you a whole bunch of time? Without Christ, without God, if the Bible's not true, you don't have a thing to live for. You're a waste of space. You are polluting the environment. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you do put out a lot of carbon dioxide. And the world would be better off without you. If there's no God, if the Bible's not true, some of you guys were like, wait a minute, is that really the case? Yeah, there's just no alternative. You are the worst thing that's ever happened to this world, even without God. And can I just tell you, if we could ask the animals and creation and nature, they would probably say the same thing in God's history too, because before us, there was no sin. Before us, the garden was perfect. And they said, you just had to have it, didn't you? Why? Because Adam said, everything, I've got paradise around me, and I just hope for more out of my life. I just hoped it would be more than this. Well, way to go, Adam, buddy, you got it. Isn't this great? Who's got a funeral to go to next week? Who's got a hospital visit to make this week? Who's going to go out to the nursing home this afternoon? Isn't it great? You say, what is that? That's all you got to look forward to without Christ. You're just going to hurt and there's no reason for it. You're just going to get weak and there's no reason for it. Eventually somebody's going to have to take care of you and they're going to hate every second of it because you're just a burden on society. Maybe they'll legalize euthanasia. Maybe they'll just make it easy, right? That's all a sinner's got to look forward to. Can I leave this world painlessly and slide right out of this world? His only hope is that maybe it's not just darkness. Maybe it's not just death. Maybe there is something more. Maybe I've been good enough. Maybe, and he slides off into eternity and he's absent from the body and present in hell forever and ever and ever. That's all he's got. The expectation. What do you hope for? Every time the people get a goal to live for in this world, they move the goalpost. Every time you think, this is what I'm living for, I mean, just think of how the economy was even just pre-COVID. Everybody's, you know, we got to save this much money for retirement. You know how much the world has changed in 5 years? Your dollar, just tear that dollar in half. That's really what happened. And you said, I have to have this much to retire. No. It just doubled. You're welcome. Let's have some more of that. And it's coming. More of that is coming. In this world, it's no wonder people just fretting and going to therapy. And all what happens in therapy, you sit and you talk to somebody who's just as lost as you are. And you tell them their problems. And the only hope they have is that my problems are not as bad as your problems. Boy, isn't that great? Let's just go to the, let's just compare and see what kind of cancers we've got. Won't that be just lovely? You see, if you think being a Christian's hard, just get rid of all of it. Just get rid of all of it. Here's why the transgressor is so hard is because in your mind you've gotten rid of it. But you want all the good effects of it in society. You want everybody to act Christian even though you don't believe God. You want everybody to have morals even though you don't believe in an absolute moral code. Yeah, that's what the world's up to. They want all the perks of Christianity without the savior of Christianity. They want the hard-working ethics of a Christian, but they don't want somebody to tell them they're lost and need to get saved. They don't want to feel guilt for that. That's why the transgressor is so hard. You're just against God enough up here, and you've never... I'm telling you this, just go all the way over the edge. Just absolutely, if you're against it, be against it. And don't let there be any question about it. Stop riding the fence. That's disgusting. It's just, it's lying to your kids, it's lying to everybody else. It's just a big old, big fat lie is all it is. Stop lying to everybody. If you don't think it's right, why are you here this morning? You say, do you think there's somebody like that in this building? Only God knows. Only God knows. I want you to be fully convinced, not just in body, but in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. The way of transgressors is hard. There's shifty values, movable goals, uncertain requirements, and this world has no expectation of tomorrow, no hope. And if you think being a Christian is hard, after you've tried everything else, try the transgressor's end. Try his end. It's a little booklet that I think everybody should read once, if you can take to read it once. It's called Last Words of Saints and Sinners. Documentation. Before the modern hospital and modern medicine where you could fall asleep and go peacefully into eternity, people that died were wide awake when they passed from this life into the next one. And this is something like 300 years of documentation of what were the last words of Voltaire, the atheist. What were their last words? What were the last words of different saints and different believers of God? Polycarp. What was his last words? You say, who was Polycarp? He was just some Christian, some crazy Christian, got killed for what he believed in. What was his last words? Was there anything when they were facing, when they could see half and half, and they could see, and they were just going crossing the bar? And they could see what was next, and they could see what was now. What did the Christian think versus what the lost man thought? Oh, if you're brave enough to read it, can I tell you that long before the soul actually leaves and gets to hell, the terror of a life lived without God, you know what the Bible says? The sting of death. You know, the Bible says that, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's the resurrection of Christ, removed the sting and removed the pain from dying. What is the sting of death? Do you know it? The sting of death is sin. A person that dies without Christ, it's not, folks, understand, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell, but I want you to realize that the hopelessness and the pain and the repercussions for a life lived without Christ is this: when you die, it's so much worse, because the sting of death is sin. Unforgiven sin is the heaviest load any man ever has to walk around with. It's the worst thing that you could ever wish on an enemy or a friend. It's the worst thing you could have, and yet it's what most people hold the closest. There's a double warning in Proverbs. I hope you'll look at with me. We're in Proverbs 13. Let's come over to just chapter 16, two pages over maybe, chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verse 25, the Bible says this. Proverbs 16, verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Can I tell you, that's the most awful thing. I thought I was right. I thought I had it figured out. I thought this was the way to live. I tried to be a good person. I kept the Ten Commandments. I tried, and I thought, and I was convinced, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16, verse 25. Flip back two pages to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. You don't think that's an important verse? Try God putting it in there twice. Proverbs 14, verse 12, the exact same way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God said, don't go off being a transgressor. Don't challenge me in your mind. Don't question the truth. Why? Not because God's wanting to control you, because he's trying to free you from a sinner's end, from a devil's hell. Verse 13, the Bible says this in Proverbs 14. I told you we'd get there. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. You think being a Christian's hard? Try living without him. Listen, church, friend, maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I wouldn't wish the life of a transgressor on anybody. I want you to get saved, and that's why I've talked to you this way this morning. Some Christians, I feel like maybe I've had more of a problem with some Christians this morning who said, why be that way about it? Christian, don't give an okay to the transgressor's life. They don't need any help getting to hell over your bad testimony, over your lukewarmness. Be convinced in your mind. Is being a Christian right? Then be at church when the doors are open. Read your Bible every day. Pray. Commit your life to God. Do something for him. You say, well, I want to be a Christian, but not that convinced. Okay, transgressor. It's going to be a little hard for you. Like, saved or lost, the way of a transgressor is hard. I just wish you'd get committed somehow. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he came to bear the transgressions of many. He was numbered with the transgressors. He knew how the mind could turn against him. He knew all the ideas and the thoughts that could get into somebody's head to turn them away from him. And he said, you know what? I'm not just going to die for the murderers and the rapists and the homosexuals. And I'm not just going to die for the people that have betrayed me and denied me. I'm going to die for those that in their mind are just not convinced. Because that is a sin as big as anything else. And God said, I want to save you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Paul, before he was Paul, was named Saul. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee, and he was a good one too. All through the life of Christ, he watched Jesus Christ, and he studied, and he compared scriptures, and he knew the Old Testament better than Nicodemus did. I mean, he was as wise as they come. And he got convinced that Jesus was not who he said he was. He became so convinced that he decided to live against him. And because of that, God said, I like this guy. I'm putting thoughts into God's mind. But you know, God didn't call somebody who was sitting in the temple. In fact, you know, Nicodemus left that meeting unconvinced and pretty much disappears. Just one or two more cameos in the Bible. But he disappears. Why? Because he was just kind of, eh. God said, you know what? I like the spunk of that guy. He's going to come at me with all he's got. And you know what he did? He knocked Paul to the ground and he said, Paul, can I just tell you that the way you're living, it's hard. Acts chapter 9, verse 5, Paul, I'm Jesus, and the life you're living is hard. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You've known you were wrong for a long time. And I'm Jesus. That's Acts 9, 5. You don't believe me? That's what he said. You don't think Jesus is a tough guy? Knocked him to the ground, said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. And you can fight all you want to. That's just a hard life. And Paul curled up in a ball in the fetal position on the ground, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And God said, that's more like it. Now we can do something. And you know why we love Paul? You know why we live by Paul? Because Paul is fully persuaded that the devil was right for a season in his life. But when he found Christ, he became fully persuaded that Christ was right. And as bad as he chased him and killed him and mocked him and persecuted him, he was mocked and chased and persecuted. Can I tell you, Paul's life, he said, I rejoice and therein do rejoice. You couldn't do anything to Paul, but he didn't smile and sing and just love every minute of it. Paul, you're crazy. No, you know what he'd come to understand? He had good understanding. It gives favor. He knew that the way of transgressors is hard. If you're not saved here this morning, can I invite everyone to stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed?